Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. It's a great day to be alive and to see the beauty of God's creation. And I'm with David. I am glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us celebrate together this morning. Somebody told me I was wearing out a path to the back, and I said, well, that's what happens when your wife isn't there to keep track of you. So things get a little confusing some days. When you go to school, whether it's grade school, high school, or if you make it on to college, what you find is that in all levels of education, what you learn now is built upon what you have learned in the past. The things that you thought you knew as right are built upon with the things that you need to know now. And so, like if you go to college, you might come to look at the catalog and find your courses. And you may have AH101 and AH201, and there's all these numbers and letters that mean something to someone. And then as you're looking at those numbers, you find that there is a course description, and many times those course descriptions will have something like this: the prerequisite for course AH101, or excuse me, for 201 is having AH101, because course 101 will lay the foundation for what you need to know when you take course 201. And it's like when you're in grade school, you have to learn the alphabet before you can write words, and you have to learn to write words before you can write sentences. You have to learn things in a proper progression. This morning, we're going to look at a sermon that Paul preaches, and he's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to a synagogue of Jews, and he gives this kind of 101, 201 progression. He says it's important for us to know and for us to have the same kind of attitude with our faith. So Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans well after what we're going to look at this morning, and he says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. In Romans 15:4, and then in 2 Timothy, he writes to his protege Timothy, and he says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That the Scripture that Paul was speaking about is what we would call the Old Testament. It was the Scriptures of the Jews. So this morning, we're going to look at Paul's instructions to them from the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 13 if you want to turn there. And we find that Paul and Barnabas are on this missionary journey. We looked at last week them being sent out by the church at Antioch upon the commissioning of the Holy Spirit. They've been to Cyprus, or they're on, and they've left Cyprus, and they're on to Pisidian in Antioch, or Antioch in Pisidia. And they're going to go to the synagogue. They're going to go to where the Jews are to speak to them. And this is what Paul says, beginning in verse 14. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak. These are great words for Paul. Yeah, he is always ready, and he is always prepared to point people in a certain direction, and Paul is going to take advantage of this. And it says, standing up, Paul motioned with his hands. So, you guys, when you see me speaking with my hands, that's scriptural. Paul did it. I have to do it. So it's the right thing to do. Paul motioned with his hands and said, fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made our people prosper in their stay in Egypt. with mighty power he led them out of that country. For about 40 years he endured their conduct in the wilderness, and he overthrew seven nations in Cana, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king, and God testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." From this, the man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, "Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for, but there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Fellow children of Abram, you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that is written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have become your father.' God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God has said, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessing promised to David.' So it is stated elsewhere, 'You will not let your holy one see decay.' Now then, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you." As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things the next Sabbath. Paul, in speaking to the Jewish synagogue, is taking the position of the prophets as he was delivering his message. He speaks about the history of Israel, he speaks about the present, and he speaks about the future. And this message of Saul, this message of Paul, is what we are going to consider together this morning as we look at the history, the present, and the future. You see, Paul begins with Israel's history, and if we were to look at it, we would say this is our heritage. This is where the Church of Jesus Christ, this is where this special body that God has formed through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, this is where we get our heritage. As Paul puts it in Romans, that Jesus and God, the history of Israel is the root of the tree, and we are branches that have been grafted in. We find our heritage in the history of Israel. For the Jews to whom Paul was speaking, this was history. These were the things, these were the stories and the lessons that they learned from the times they were small children until Paul was speaking to them. And Paul begins his history with the choosing of Israel. He begins by saying that God chose our ancestors. And when Paul would say this, the Israelites would naturally think of three men. They would think of Abraham, they would think of Isaac, and they would think of Jacob. when you talked about your ancestors as a Jew, those three men were important. They were the beginning of God's process of using the nation of Israel. And so while we read this sermon, and Ed probably thought I should stop as soon as I got done reading the sermon. He says, you know, if Paul preached that long, that's how long you should preach. Right, Ed? And you can't turn off the lights, Ed. They're already off. You can blink them? Is that what I heard? Yeah, okay. But Paul, when he wrote when Luke wrote this, this probably is not the complete sermon that Paul spoke. You have to understand that. Luke didn't have the ability to transcribe the full sermon. There wasn't a court recorder there doing shorthand to record the whole sermon. Rather, Luke is going to take a portion of that and take the important parts and write those down. You see, I have the same thing, Ed. This is my sermon. It wouldn't take any longer than it did to read that passage. But if I just read the notes, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. But Paul began by talking about the fact that Israel was chosen. And so he was framing his whole sermon by saying, okay, you need to consider Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as we continue through this progression. You think about our national heritage. And then he moves them on into the slavery in Egypt. This was an important part of the story of Israel. It was important enough that when Moses recorded the book of Genesis, he included how they got to Egypt. And then he included in the book of Exodus the indication of how they got from being Joseph's family, Joseph the savior of Egypt, because God had given the dream to Pharaoh and Joseph could interpret it. And then he moved on and Moses moves from talking about how they got there to the Exodus and saying that this time has passed and nobody remembered who Joseph was anymore. And so the Israelites became slaves. And they cried out to God. And so he talks about the period of time that they're slaves in Egypt and the fact that God chose them and brought them out of Egypt. And then he talks about the fact that even though God had rescued them and redeemed them from slavery in Egypt, that they were hard-hearted and God had to endure. God had to put up with their stuff for 40 years as he led them around in the wilderness. Because it wasn't just one mistake. It wasn't just the mistake that they made as they were standing at the bottom of the Mount of Sinai, the Mount of the Law, and waiting for Moses to come down when they built the idols. No, then they had some power struggles, and then they grumbled about this, and they complained about that, and eventually a whole generation, in 40 years, a whole generation died. And so God brings their people into the Promised Land, and that's the next thing that Paul moves to as he's just giving them highlights of the story. He moves to the fact that God brought them into the Promised Land. And in the Promised Land, it took 10 years, but he drove out the nations, seven nations, Paul says, from before the people of Israel. And he's just giving them highlights. And as he gives them highlights, as Luke records the highlights, he's saying the sermon is filled out. And it talks about the history of Israel. And so he talks about the conquest. And then he brings another dark time in the period of the history of Israel. You know, Paul isn't afraid to say, you know what, we, our fathers, our grandparents, our heritage made some dumb mistakes. Because then he starts, he brings up the fact that there was this period of judges. That this period of time when Israel went from one dumb act to another and God would bring somebody in to punish them and then God would free them from that punishment when it had gone off long enough. But this time, this period of judges went on for years. And there was a lot of dumb stuff that the people of Israel did. And then they asked for a king. And so Paul talks about the fact that Saul was the first king, and he was kind of every man's man. He was head and shoulders above everybody else, and he was good looking, and he was You know, everybody thought, man, this is the guy. And this guy made some dumb mistakes. And so God removed him from being king and he chose David. And he made this promise to David. And Saul talks about the promise that was made to David, first of all, that he would have this descendant who would sit on his throne forever. And then he talks about the fact that David made these prophecies about his descendant. And he goes back to the Psalms and he says that David is the one who authored these Psalms. And so he brings in the life of David and then he just ties it all up. And he says, then came John the Baptist. Then came John the Baptist preaching that the Messiah was on the horizon. And so, in just this, the beginning of this sermon, in just these few things that Luke records of the sermon of Paul, he takes Israel through all of their history. One point at a time, he works them through the history. And what he's doing is he's setting them up. He's setting them up for what he's going to go to next. But he wants them to understand their history. He wants them to remember where they've been and where they've come from and what God has done for them. Because the story only makes sense when you know the heritage. And if Paul was preaching to us this morning, I think he would begin in the same place. I think he would begin with the same story because we as followers of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament is our history. But it's our heritage as well. It is where we take the roots of our faith. And we have to understand the Old Testament before we can completely understand what the New Testament says. And so I think if Paul was here to preach to us today, he would probably preach a lot longer than I do. I have never had anybody fall out of the window. Never. Never. I've only ever once had to have an ambulance come when I was preaching because somebody had a health problem. So your chances are good, but I'm not going to preach as long as Paul. I think I can promise that. I might preach for a few minutes, but not as long as Paul. But I think Paul would begin by taking us to the Old Testament and working us through the history of Israel because we have to understand it. We not just little bits and pieces. It's not enough to know the nice stories. It's not enough to know the flannel graph story of Jonah and the big fish. Or the story of Israel coming out of Egypt. Unless you know all of the plagues and you understand what's going on with all the plagues, unless you understand some of the other stories, because the Old Testament is not afraid to say that the heroes of the story messed up. I mean, after all, the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham and Isaac both lied to other people about their wives. No, she's not my wife. Really? Well, I don't know anybody that hangs around their sister and kisses on them the way that you are kissing on your wife. Now, that's basically what the Old Testament says. You see that, don't you? And the Old Testament isn't then afraid to say that Judah had two standards, one for himself and one for other people. It was okay for him to go to a prostitute, but it was not okay for his daughter-in-law to be a prostitute and get pregnant. You know, she deserved to be stoned, but he was just, yeah, it's okay. You know, the Old Testament isn't scared to tell those stories. It isn't afraid to tell the story about Saul, who God chose to be king, who wouldn't listen to God and do what God wanted him to do. It's not afraid to tell the story of David and his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. And then the murder of Uriah the Hittite because David thought he could get away with his sin if he just covered it up. The Old Testament isn't afraid to say those things. But we have to know the stories. Because there are things in the New Testament that will not and cannot make sense without the heritage and the history. And so I think Paul would stand up here this morning, and he's told his other, you know, in the letters he writes, he says that each one of us is supposed to be able to stand up and give a defense for what we believe. Each one of us is supposed to know what we believe, why we believe it, and be able to give a defense of that. And so I think Paul would stand up this morning and he would ask us the question, can you teach, can you preach from the Old Testament? Can you lead people through the Old Testament and do what Jesus did with the guys on the road to Emmaus and show them from the Scriptures the things that had to happen? Can you confidently preach and teach from the Old Testament? And maybe Paul would start a step before that and say, have you even studied the Old Testament? Have you sat down and put your mind to looking through the things in the Old Testament and trying to put the pieces together and understand what God is doing? And you see, we have a help, and that's what Paul's going to talk about next. We have a help. We have a key. We have the New Testament to help us to understand everything in the Old Testament. We have the key by which to understand those things. And then maybe Paul would just even ask us the simple question and say, have you even read the Old Testament? Have you even read the story of your history? Do you understand? Do you know? Can you follow and trace the story of the people of Israel? From Abraham to Malachi. Can you trace the story of the history of Israel? Because here's what Paul says at the end of his message, just a flash forward here. He says, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. You see, if we don't know the history of Israel, if we don't understand our heritage as a church, we're bound to make the same mistakes that they made. If we don't, as individuals, understand the story and the flow of our history as followers of Jesus Christ, we're bound to make the same mistakes that the people before us have made. You see, one of the mistakes that the people of Israel made was they thought it was all about them. They're the chosen ones. They're the blessed ones. Thank you, God, that I am not a Gentile or a woman. Now, that's a pretty audacious prayer for a man to preach in today's society, but then it was, you know, it wasn't considered a big deal. Thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile or a woman. Pretty self-focused. And what Paul says next is that we have to understand the history so that we can understand the present. Now, for us, this is history as well. The things that Paul is speaking about that were current events to them are our history for us. We have to understand that. You know, for some of us, we look in the recent past and things like 9/11 and the terrorist actions on 9/11 are current to us. To other people, like my children, all three of them that are sitting here this morning, that's history. They didn't experience it. They didn't know it. It happened before they had, well, Lauren was alive. The other two weren't even born yet. But Lauren at the time didn't have the cognitive ability to understand and to deal with that, or even to realize what was taking place. You know, she was still learning to put sentences together and learning how to grow hair and learning to walk well. And so she didn't care about those things. To her, that's history. To some of us, we can look at that and it while, yes, it's history, it's passion within us. Because we can tell you where we were. We can tell you what we were doing. And Paul is speaking about those kinds of events. Events that while they were, yes, they happened in the past, so they were history, but they were still current history. They were still things that people would feel passion about because they happened recently in current history. And so Paul says that the key to the current events is the Old Testament. If you want to understand what was happening in Paul's day, he says you have to understand the Old Testament. And so he begins by talking about John the Baptist. He says that John the Baptist came and he was a fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. That one like Elijah would come before the great and glorious day of the Lord. And so Paul is taking the Old Testament history and he's showing how John the Baptist fit in the thoughts and the plans that God was fulfilling and God had said he would do. And he says the only way to understand what John was talking about is to understand the history of Israel. But the only way to understand the history of Israel is to understand John the Baptist as Elijah who was coming before the day of the Lord. And so he says, if John the Baptist is the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecies of everything that God was doing throughout the pages of the Old Testament. And if you want to understand John, you have to understand the Old Testament. And then he moves from John and he moves to Jesus. But before he gets to Jesus, he brings into the mind of the Israelites the other prophets. Prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah who spoke of the coming destruction of Israel and of Judah. He brought to mind the words of the prophets Zephaniah, Hosea, Malachi, all the prophets that spoke about what God was going to do. And what he says is that the rulers didn't learn from the prophets. And what he's saying thus to the Jews in the synagogue is you have to be careful that you use the right key to understand current events. Isaiah and Jeremiah spoke a message to the people and the people didn't want to hear it. And so they missed what God was doing. And then he says that the Old Testament is the key to current events, you have to look at David and the fact that David predicted the death and resurrection of his seed who would come after him. And in doing this, Paul is saying that you have to understand John as a prophet, as one who came to prepare the way, and then he says that you have to understand Jesus in the light of the Old Testament. You have to understand Jesus because Jesus came to fulfill what was written in the law and the prophets. You know, it's what he said in Romans, everything that was written in the past was written for us. Speaking to the church at Rome in his day, he was saying the Old Testament was written so that we could understand what was going to take place. Because the law and the prophets were foreshadowing the ministry of Jesus Christ. They were preparing the way and showing what Jesus was going to be and what he was going to do and why it was necessary for him to do those things. He says the law and the prophets were speaking about Jesus and some of them were speaking prophetically, some of them were speaking about the things that he was going to do specifically. And we can look in the Old Testament and we can see that there were places where there were things that were foreshadows. They were events and activities that would happen that kind of prepared the way for Jesus. And then there were other things that were prophecies. They were words that were spoken ahead of time that said, this is what Jesus is going to be. And Paul is showing that Jesus filled those prophecies. And he also says that if we read the Old Testament, it proclaimed the need. It showed us why we needed Jesus to come. You see, because we're not good enough. We cannot be good enough on our own to leave sin. We cannot escape the power of death on our own. We needed somebody to come and to save us, to be our leader in this exodus, to bring us out of slavery to sin and out of death. Just the way Israel needed somebody to bring them out of slavery from underneath of the hand of the Egyptians And so he sent Moses. God sent Moses. Well, we needed somebody to take us out of slavery to sin and out of the bondage of death. And so Jesus Christ came. Paul says that Jesus Christ came to be the leader of a new Exodus. And he tells our story as the story of Israel. You see, we have to understand the history of Israel because it is our story as well. And I think that if we're going to correctly understand Jesus and what Jesus did for us, we have to know the Old Testament. We have to be familiar with the story. Not the stories that we'll teach our kids in Sunday school class, but we have to know the whole story. We have to understand the history behind it. And so, I don't shy away from using the Old Testament when I preach and teach. You can ask those who sit in Sunday school class. We go to the Old Testament a lot. I mean, we go to the New Testament, probably half and half, but we spend a fair share of our time in the Old Testament understanding the history. And here's the thing. Starting later this year, we're going to go through the whole Bible. We're going to embark on a project. It's called the Gospel Project. It's a 3-year cycle to work through the entire Scripture, starting in Genesis and ending in Revelation. And we're going to do that together. We're going to go through this in 3 years, and we're going to work through it, and we'll do some Sunday school that goes along with the sermons, and the children, some of the children's stuff will go along with the rest of it, so that if you have small children, what we're talking about on Sunday morning in the sermons, you can go home and talk to them about what they learned in Sunday school, and it's going to be the same stuff. They're going to get the same story, the same lesson, in a kid-friendly way that we're going to share together. And then we're going to do that in adult Sunday school, so that some of you may want to go there, and one of the classes will work through that same material. And the high schoolers, junior high school age kids, they're going to do the same thing. Whether it's in Sunday school or in youth group, we don't know yet, but we'll work that together so that they're getting that same story. Because we have to understand. We have to understand the Scriptures. And this is what Paul is saying, is that to understand Jesus, you know, to him it was current events. To us it's history, but to understand the current events of Jesus Christ, we have to understand the Old Testament. And then Paul moves into the prophetic ministry. Actually, all of Paul's sermon that he is delivering here, if you read this story, and then you were to go back and you were to read especially the minor prophets, because they're short and you can read them in one sitting, what you'll find is what the minor prophets do is exactly what Paul is doing. You know, we often think about prophecy as telling something that's going to happen in the future. And so we think about the prophets, we think about that's what they're saying. But that's not what the prophets were mostly doing. The prophets weren't necessarily predicting things that were going to happen. The prophets begin by setting the scenario, and they set the stage, and they talk about what God has done and what God has provided for them. And one of the great ways he does this, they do this as they talk about a marriage. They talk about the people of Israel's relationship with God as if it's an intimate relationship that's only found in marriage. And they set the stage. And then they talk about what's happening now. And generally when they talk about what's happening now, the people of Israel have messed up and they begin to bring up their stuff. And a lot of times it's spoken of with the metaphor of adultery. You were married to me, but you have gone out and had sex with someone else. You are married to me, God says, but you have gone worshiping other gods and serving them. And then the prophets would come, and the prophets would say something like this: repent. Turn back to God and leave your idolatrous ways. Turn back to God and commit yourself to this relationship and quit committing adultery. Repent. But if you don't repent, this is what God is going to do. And generally, if you read what God had said He was going to do, it takes them back to the beginning of the history of their relationship with God, when God said, if you do not worship Me and Me alone, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go into captivity. And you'll stay in captivity until you learn your lesson. And when you've learned your lesson, you can come back. And I will bring you back. You don't have to come back on your own. I will bring you back, God says. And so, Paul begins to speak with this prophetic voice. He sets up the history of Israel. He sets up the what is happening in Jesus' day. And he says, but you missed it. It was spoken about in your synagogues and read every week. How could you? But you did. You missed it. You overlooked it and you didn't see that Jesus was here. And Paul's prophetic voice is this. He looks at the people and he says, repent. Repent. Understand who Jesus is and accept Him. And accept what God has done through Him. And you will be saved. But just like the prophets, he says, the but. And the prophets generally said, but I know you're not going to listen, so this is what God is going to do. And Paul looks at the people, the Jews, and he says, I know most of you won't accept the message, and this is what God is going to do. He says, if you don't repent, you will face judgment. Just like the people of Israel, just like our fathers who've gone before us, they face judgment. And if you don't know the story of the Old Testament, and you don't know the message of the prophets, what Paul is saying is just another sermon. But if you understand the Old Testament story, and you understand the message of the prophets, what Paul is doing is he's taking this prophetic voice, and he's saying to them, God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you, but if you don't accept it, you will face judgment. And then Paul looks at them and he says something I don't think that they were expecting. He says, this message is both for Jews and Gentiles. You see, the Jews thought that they were in a privileged place. They thought they were the only ones who God cared about. And so God brought them out of Egypt and God made Him as their people. And God gave them the law because God... they were just special. Yeah, they had a special place in God's heart, but they also had a special purpose, and that was to be a light to the Gentiles. And Paul says to them, this message is not just for you, this message is for the Gentiles as well. That if they hear and they believe and they repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ, they will be saved as well. And it's important that you and I understand the Old Testament so that we can correctly comprehend how we're supposed to live. If you want to know how you're supposed to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, it all boils down to relationship. And the Old Testament tells us what that relationship is supposed to look like. The Old Testament tells us the meaning of what Jesus did for us. He loved us enough that He sent His Son to die on the cross. You see, what is interesting to me is this. This is the only sermon that Luke records that Paul preached to a synagogue. Now, Luke says that everywhere that Paul and Barnabas did, they went to the synagogues first. And they spoke to the people at the synagogues first. I think that the reason for this is this is the outline of the sermon that Paul preached at every synagogue. This wasn't the whole sermon. This was only a snippet and brief piece of what Paul spoke. But it's the sermon that he spoke to every synagogue. He came in with the same prophetic voice every week, and he took on the attitude of the prophets. That I am called to speak, and this is the message that God has given me, and you can either accept it or not, but let me tell you the promise that God makes if you do, and let me tell you the judgment that you will face if you don't. You see, he wanted to show the Jews that the Jewish scriptures were meant to point to this fellow named Jesus, who was the Jewish expected Messiah. Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, of the line of David, was the promised Messiah that all of the Old Testament spoke about, that John the Baptist prepared the way for, that the Jews didn't accept, and so they conspired with Pilate and they had him killed. They had Jesus murdered and he was hung on a cross. And then they took his body and they laid it in a tomb, but God raised him on the third day. And Paul says, don't miss Jesus. You've got the scriptures that point to Jesus as the Messiah. Don't miss Jesus. And this morning my message to you is, don't miss Jesus. You've got to know the Old Testament so that the New Testament has its foundations and it has its meanings. You know what? If you take a small child who hasn't learned the alphabet and hasn't learned words yet and you give them a book, they might look at the book and they might be like I was. I had a book that my mom read to me so often I could say it by memory. And the fish swam around and around and around and around and around. Fish swam away. You see, I can still recite it because I knew it by heart, and so I could look at the pages and pretend I was reading it. But it wasn't until I began to put the alphabet together and understand what the letters were and what they meant, and then I could begin to put words together, and when I began to put words together, then I could begin to think about how those words would fit together in sequence, and I could write sentences. And then I got to where I could write several sentences together that made sense. And then it was paragraphs, and then it was pages, and then it was English teachers that think you need to write essays. Why did I ever learn? No. I love the fact that I learned to read and write. Wish I could spell, but that's another story. But what Paul says is that just the same way, you have to have the foundations before you can move forward. We have to have the foundations of our faith before the rest of it really makes sense. And the foundation for you and me is the Old Testament, and we have to understand it so that we don't miss Jesus. We're going to sing one more song this morning. We're going to sing One Thing Remains. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have never begun a relationship with Him, the one thing that remains is for you to give up rule of your own life and say that I'm going to enter into the kingdom of God and live for Him. Because it's all about Jesus. This morning, if you don't know Him, we're going to sing the song, and I'd invite you to come and we'll just visit about what that looks like to begin a relationship with Him. Or maybe this morning you're realizing that you need to get more of the Old Testament, more understanding, and you need to say, how can I do that? I'd love to visit with you about that as well. If you just need somebody to pray with you this morning, myself or one of the elders would love to pray with you. If you just either want to come forward as we sing this last song together, or if you want to catch one of us in the entryway or somewhere after we get done, let's stand together. If you need to make a decision, come while we sing.